Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Sketch Reporters Assemble!
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, you heard it. It's Friday morning, so you know the sports reporters have assembled. Bob Silverman up there in the northeast of the Daily Beast is here, as he is every single Friday. Bob, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Chase Thomas. I'm good. How are you, brother?
That was great, man. That was good. How much coffee have you had this morning?
I haven't had my coffee yet.
What? It's 11:30.
I'm on my first cup right now. I had to make coffee, and I hadn't. I made it, and then I forgot, and now I'm just hitting my first coffee.
Fuck, man! You got to get on it.
I was doing other things.
Like what, Bob?
I was pitching a story and talking with an editor on the G Chat.
Okay, John Stockton. Like, I don't know what you're going to do on that piece, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot.
Big anti-vax.
Mm-hmm.
John Stockton is QAnon. Who knew?
There was a good bit
a white
on
dude
Twitter.
From someone Northern California has some bad ideas. I can't believe it.
Can I tell you what Hanif, I'm going to mispronounce his name, but did y'all see what he quote tweeted, the Stockton tweet about, like from Ben Collins, I think? Isn't Ben Collins at Daily Beast? Am I misremembering that, or was he at the Daily
NBC
Beast?
News. He was at the Daily Beast. Okay. He was my editor at the Daily Beast for a long time. But
that's
yes,
what I thought. So he was somewhere else now, but I seem to recall reading him at Daily Beast. But anyway, he quote tweeted
very
that.
Very good says, dude, was a Mavs blogger for a long time.
Ew. Stockton
what?
Saw
What's
that.
Wrong? Hold on. Look, the Mavericks are a weird, sad team.
Well, that's look, Cuban really already cleared it up, Bob. Everything's fine. I don't know what you're talking about. It was total bullshit. Stockton saw that flu game up close and has been skeptical about viruses ever since. That is a great tweet.
Man, the Stockton to Malone pick and roll combo hasn't really aged well as time has gone by.
There's an age joke with Karl Malone there as well.
As Jason Kirk put it perfectly. Youth of the 90s thought that the Jazz were a lame team, and youth of the 90s continued to be on the right side of history. Like, I guarantee, and I even tweeted this out this morning. I said, I bet you Karl Malone has been sending John Stockton just shady anti-vax websites. Like, man, can you see how bad this information is? Like, because you already know Karl Malone is that type of person that would do that. And honestly, and I'm not defending John Stockton here, but I truly think that was probably no. I bet you John Stockton was one of those people who was kind of sort of leery about masking and vaccinations, and then all of a sudden Karl Malone just started feeding him all this energy like it was circa like 1992, only in reverse of the Stockton to Malone. Now it's Malone to Stockton with bad anti-vax advice. And he was like, damn it, I'm in. I am all in on this. Yeah, him and RFK Jr. being this like anti-leader, anti-vax
thing is just really
weird.
It's so weird.
Well, thing for like RFK Jr., I'm like, dog, like, I'm looking at your family tree and I'm looking at some of the most prominent members of your family. Your Uncle Teddy is like one of the four, you know, one of the forebearers of trying to get modern healthcare in this country. Your aunt is a big proponent of the Special Olympics and making sure that healthy children, you know, that children, despite having health issues, have a fair chance in the world. And this is the hill that you are choosing? Not even choose to die on. This is just the hill that you're choosing. Wow. That is certainly a choice.
That's Andrew Hammond, by the way, of the Detroit Free Press. He's also here.
How you doing?
Hey, Andrew.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. I saw your... We got to get started before the actual sports stuff. But Andrew, I wanted to ask, because I think I don't know where I saw it. Was it Twitter where you shared that your mom sent you a home run ball?
Oh, yes. So, because she said that she was going to send it to me when I moved out to Detroit. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And so, like, I got back from my vacation and I see this box sitting at my door. And yeah, I was like, oh, okay, this is the ball, you know? And so, cause I knew she was going to send it and everything. And so I was looking at the ball cause I hadn't seen it since, man, I'd say maybe like it was in a box like back in 2017, something like that. 2018, 2017, something like that. Anyway, I looked at the day and the day that I hit this home run was June 17th, 2004. The day that I got the ball was June 17th, 2021. I thought that was pretty cool. And
that is.
It definitely sparked some memories of that day and of that game. It was kind of a wild game. It was a summer league tournament that we were playing against. I'd say it was our rival team, but there was a mutual respect there. And the umpiring was a bit shady. I know, right? Umpiring in baseball, shady. Shocker. But one of the funniest things I've ever seen on a baseball field, and I will probably never see it again, is we found out who the umpire was, who was going to be behind the plate for our game. And my coach and this guy did not like each other. That's another story for another day, because let's just say that we might have actually lost a championship game because of this, or our league championship because of this dude. But anyway, we have this midseason tournament every year, and in like the second, semifinal game, because we played the quarterfinal game like that the day before, and I had like a really, really bad game. And so I hit this home run. And so, but before the game, we found out who the umpire is. And our coach is like, I'm not trying to see this MF, you know, behind the plate for seven innings. I'm getting kicked out on the first pitch. And I'm sitting there. So I bat second. I don't know why they had me bat second this game, but I'm sitting in the on deck circle. And he tells his son, who's leading off, don't swing at the first pitch. I'm getting kicked out of the game. And his son's like, wait, you're really doing this? And he was like, yeah, I'm really doing this. And so, like, he timed it out perfectly. The pitch was slightly outside. Our coach comes steaming out of the dugout. Are you serious? Like, he's like, you better call it, Frank. You better call it. He's like, you better call it down the line in this one. And literally, he maybe fired off two more sentences, and he said, that's it, James, you're out of here. And he was like, good. So, yeah, watching your manager and your coach get kicked out literally within, I'd say, under 90 seconds of a game beginning is actually impressive. So he sat in his truck in right field after the, you know, during the game. And so I hit the game winning home run, and he goes and gets the ball because it was maybe 10 feet away from where his truck was. And so he, you know, runs and gets the ball and he signs it. And as we're leaving, he throws me the ball. He said, Hey kid, congratulations. I'm proud of you. And he, you know, put the distance on it and everything. And so, yeah, that was an awesome, awesome moment because I've always kind of, you know, I hit the ball, I run fast. And so the fact that I hit the piss out of this ball because it went opposite field and, you know, 326 down the line. And basically it was like, hey, we know that ball is gone. We just didn't know if it was fair or foul. And so I'm rounding second base and I see the shortstop. Once again, this is like one of our rivals. I see the shortstop basically just like throw his glove and just like kick the dirt because it was like, well, we lost this game and pretty much whoever was going to win this game was going to win the tournament. And so I hit the home run and that's when I figured, oh my God, we won the game. And so I was doing a full on sprint to second base and then stopped and did a nice little jog in. I wasn't able to pimp the home run. I was kind of sad about that, but no, that was a fun memory. And I definitely took a little time out to reflect on that day yesterday.
Bob, can you match that?
No.
What did you play growing up, Bob?
Sports wise, or yeah. You mean like what D&D characters were my favorite?
Oh, okay, got it.
I've told you this. We discussed this on the pod. I was a terrible athlete growing up, and it just killed me. Mm. I hated it with the fire of a thousand. I was picked last all the time.
Oh.
The problems that I had were is that I was not particularly tall, fast, or strong, and I had a tendency to sort of fall down easily when flying objects come at me. The one sport I was always good at was street hockey.
Hmm.
I was an actually decent street hockey goalie.
Same.
And like an okay ice hockey goalie, my skating wasn't really solid enough to be good.
Ice hockey.
Really?
Yeah,
it's,
no.
It's kind of, yeah, just a little practice. But I was a good street hockey goalie. I think it was that combination of, it's a kind of this thing where I don't have to move a great deal from the spot I'm in. So that solved a lot of my initial limitations. And also, I tended to panic and flinch when flying objects come at me. So that led to a quick reaction time. And three, I didn't mind the pain. That was, I think, a big benefit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, like, I never wanted to play hockey or street hockey with just because of the potential of getting hit in the face with the puck or a ball. Like, I was just
I've been hit in the face with a puck. It's you just whatever. It's fine. It's not a big deal. I would come home with like purple welts all over myself. Like, hockey pads were expensive.
Mm. Yes, they are.
Not. For playing New York City street hockey, we were not going to shill out hundreds of dollars for goalie gear. So you'd play with the old copies of the Yellow Pages taped to your knees.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, yeah. Bob, you know what's funny about that is that because I play a little street hockey from like fourth grade to I'd say maybe eighth. Mm-hmm. That's when I like stop, you know, that's when I stopped playing like hardcore every summer. But yeah, that stuff is physical as hell.
Yeah,
because if you hit the ground, yeah. So like, there were times where we would play on, you know, on like a not a hybrid skating rink surface, not roller rink surface, but you would, you know, definitely get a lot of. So, and sometimes we did play like on if it was like smooth concrete or whatever. Yeah, like you were, you hit the ground. Oh, you're at the vet. Like I get why players in the 80s were struggling to play at the vet. I totally get it now.
I have the mask that I wore while playing goalies in street hockey, and it's flimsy as hell. Send us a pic in the group chat. I will send you all a photo in the group chat, which I'm more than happy to allow to be used with any and all promotional materials.
Perfect.
Furtherance of this episode. What I did was I painted it so it looked like the skull in the movie that the goalie wore in the movie Slapshot.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Because he originally had a white mask for all you Slapshot fans out there.
Great movie, by the way.
Great. Look, top three sports movies of all time.
I would argue that is maybe the best sports movie of all time.
The top three sports movies of all time are, in some order, Slapshot, the original Bad News Bears.
Goon.
And Goon, yeah.
Goon, yes.
Those are the top three.
Yep. I don't need romanticism about sports.
Boxing movies are not sports movies. They're not sports movies. They're boxing movies.
Raging Bull is more of a sports movie than Rocky.
Raging Bull is more of a sport. No, Rocky is more of a sports movie than Raging Bull. Raging Bull, the only reason there are actual boxing scenes is because Scorsese wanted to copy the shower scene from Psycho to show Ray Robinson beating up Jake LaMotta. Those are the only reason there are any boxing scenes in that at all.
Wow.
No, he did. You look at the scene where Sugar Ray Robinson is beating up Jake LaMotta is a shot-for-shot copy of the stabbing scene in the movie Psycho.
I could buy that, but also Scorsese.
It's an homage.
Yeah, but Scorsese was probably doing a lot of coke at that point. So
he was doing a lot of coke at that point. Not even allegedly. He's disgusted. He had a problem. He was even willing to make fun of it in Taxi Driver by having him be the tweaked out guy who wants to kill his wife, having him play himself in that.
Yeah, now he just wants to take out Marvel fanboys. So
that's fine.
I'm glad he's evolved.
Yeah.
Bob, don't be that guy.
I'm with him on this. I was always for him. I think it's just a weird thing to be upset about, but I see his point and I agree with it.
But TLDR, I painted. We got some paint and we painted my mask to sort of look like that. Mm. But it wasn't, you know. Look, I'm using acrylic paints on plastic. It didn't stick after like 4 or 5 games. All the paint scraped off from my cool skull design, and now it's just a white plastic mask again.
Mm. Which brings us.
I played one game with a like NHL style mask because one of our goalies. One of our goalies decided he didn't want to play goal this game, and I was like, oh, sure, I'll play goal. It was fine. We won. I might have allowed 3 goals, but we won. I don't know how those guys do it. Like, that is a very impressive. And I didn't even have, like, the neck, like, the little guard.
Little dongle.
I didn't have the neck guard. So, yeah, like, anytime it hit the bottom part of the cage, I basically just, like, put my head down.
No, you guys, look, when you see this photo, this is as Jerry Cheever's a janky-ass, you're really receiving no protection at all type mask for a small child as you could possibly imagine. It was just a suggestion that I couldn't get hurt more than anything else, as opposed to actual protective gear. I'm surprised I wasn't more badly physically injured. It's truly a miracle.
Well, this naturally brings us, guys, to the NBA playoffs.
People getting injured.
So let's bring in. There was a really good piece by Sarit.
Is it time for Hawks talk already?
Hold on. We have a whole Atlanta sport. We have a whole Atlanta sports guys segment coming after we record here. So like we get 40 minutes of the Hawks. The listeners are getting all of the Hawks coverage. I mean, what more can you say about 39-10 and just that kind of 26-point comeback on the road?
That the Sixers choked? that the Sixers are chokers and frauds, that they choked because of their fraudulence, mm-hmm. that it wasn't really so much the Hawks as they went up against the fraud team. I don't know. That's what someone could say.
Joel Embiid got away with just diving at another player's knees. Like, Joel Embiid is just a dirty player. And, like, it's very, very frustrating at this point to watch this whole series. And that's just something we gloss over because he's amazing and he's dominant and he's playing through a torn meniscus in his knee. And it's crazy that he's still playing and all that kind of stuff. And I enjoy watching.
Have you noticed how much Kevin Huerter looks like Paul Dano? Is that something that's come up in your Hawks group chats?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm now just getting the mental image of him just sitting there in like in half the scenes of what is that movie? There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, or Little Miss Sunshine.
Yes.
No, really.
And I'm just getting like the mental images of like the last 10 minutes of There Will Be Blood in Clutch Time.
I just have this image of like Nate McMillan screaming, "I will drink your milkshake!" at Kevin.
Yes. Or yes. Oh god.
He's so
Thank
good
you
in Prisoners
that.
Though. Loved him in Prisoners.
Thank you for that.
Paul Dano or Paul Yeah, Paul Dano is just he's a great actor and just terrifying. Deeply, every single part plays people who are damaged or disturbing.
He's playing Riddler in the Batman. Did you know that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's where I was like, it's him and
Colin Farrell looking totally unrecognizable as the Penguin.
No, not Colin Farrell. No, I was
Wait, is
thinking...
Colin Farrell in it too?
Yeah. He's
this
Penguin.
This is stacked. Penguin. I'm all in on this.
Look at the trailer and... When you see the guy who's playing Colin Farrell, it looks more like Rob Riggle. It does not look like Colin Farrell at all.
There's no trailer for that yet.
Yes, there is.
Is there?
It's over a year old, man. It was pretty
Oh, once again, 2020 was a freaking blur. But no, Paul Dano and the dude who played Landry in Friday Night Lights.
Oh.
Jesse Plemons. Yeah.
Jesse Plemons. So,
he plays the same character in every movie.
Are so look, damaged.
I cannot stand Jesse Plemons. I cannot stand that weird doughy face of his, that inscrutable doughy face.
He's adorable and nice. He just plays really, really fucked up damaged characters.
I can't.
I feel like Jesse Plemons is probably going to get an Oscar for playing Mark David Chapman one day.
Look, I'm sure he's a lovely human being. And
he's married to Kirsten Dunst. He's married to Kirsten Dunst, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
Okay. Yeah. I believe they met on the set of Fargo. I have not read.
I believe so. I thought they were either dating before Fargo, or they like started like instantly like dating during the show or something like that.
I could be wrong. I will check my latest copy of Premiere magazine and see.
Look at you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't stand to look. He is good at what he does, clearly, because it sends me up a tree. But I cannot. No more. No more Jesse Plemons. No.
What a hater.
I am a hater. I am drinking deep of the haterade. I've been to the haters' ball. That's me.
Mm.
That's me. Not like anyone needed another Batman movie at all for any reason whatsoever. But Robert Pattinson is weird, and so fine. I'll check that out at some point.
Robert Pattinson, his hygiene's really bad. That's the thing I remember about him. Is that
Did you read the story? I think it's Zach Baron in Esquire about Robert Pattinson trying to make the spaghetti sandwich in a while during core. It's a whole journey. I'll send it in the chat.
Yes, please do.
It's a real Robert Pattinson was not built for this type block, and it's outstanding.
Can I just say, LeBron,
sure,
with his tweets that came out this week about the injuries, the rash of injuries that ended with him saluting Kawhi. I think LeBron's right about all of us seeing this coming. Like, they had 71 days off The Heat got bounced in the first round. The Lakers got bounced in the first round. We know that that kind of layoff is just not enough with just how fast, how hard these guys are playing, and how more like just it's more difficult on the body now the way the game is played. All of that can be true. But I don't think stars who were spearheading the CBA for the player side, the guys that were told or getting on the phone with just the owners and Silver, and they're talking about the television contracts of like how much money they're losing if they don't come back in January, them just being like, all right, guess we'll go back. Because you moved on. We've seen this twice in the last year where the stars...
They say, look, it would be interesting to see what the rank and file in the NBA thinks of the decision to have this jam-packed schedule.
That's who I'd be more curious about. The middleman, not the stars. No, we know why you did it. You wanted the money. We know why.
I want to know about the guys on the 10-day contracts.
Yes.
Were they in favor of it or not? I have a feeling they probably were. And it doesn't matter because LeBron, you signed off on this.
Correct.
And yeah, the NBA is there was some, I think, report that I saw that said that which probably was fed to them by the exact kind of source you would imagine that seven teams were on the verge of insolvency or something like that. Although I really just don't believe any head of a multinational corporation when they talk about their finances as a matter of course.
Yeah.
There was another way out of this. You all could have lost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You chose not to. Okay. Yeah, it does suck in a lot of ways. It sucks for all the guys who are getting injured.
Yeah.
It sucks. It sucks in terms of this is not as good a product as I would have liked to watch me as a consumer. You guys made those decisions.
Yeah.
You had, I believe, more power than you thought to affect those decisions. You chose not to
exercise. I agree. Yes. Andrew,
can I just say that Bron and I we have the same opinion of this, and one of us is more than likely going to be fined for it. Like, we all saw this shit coming. Anybody who's sitting back in the last week, it's like, oh man, yeah, maybe they should have adjusted the season a little bit. Yes. Like, why do you think in the first 2 months of the year you had this weird kind of, smorgasbord of really, really bad teams? And, oh, hey, it looks like the teams that were super well rested aren't that bad. Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I'm just happy that slightly benefited the Knicks. That's really my only
And that's the thing. And we aren't going to. And I remember reading, or it might have been on a podcast, I'm not sure, but I remember hearing somebody say, because it was somebody that was, it was, you know, one of these NBA insiders, and he was talking about the biggest fear of the, you know, of coming back, or of starting up the season again, because this is pre-bubble, that one of the biggest fears that the league has is, one, the Olympic cycle. Oh, by the way, we're just going to barrel on into that because why?
The Olympics should be canceled. Like, they wanted to cram it in before the Olympics, but the Olympics shouldn't be happening right now either.
Bingo. the biggest worry that he was talking about was, you know, if there wasn't an Olympic cycle and there wasn't all of these things that we're trying to get accomplished in the immediate, you know, he's like, if a season comes back, then what's going to end up happening is you're going to have these really, really weird cycles and sequences, and the league won't be quote unquote normal until 2022-23.
Right. Yeah.
Because we're essentially punting, you know, part of next season too, because you're going to have guys who are playing in the Olympics. So for a Steph Curry or a Damian Lillard who are already playing, they've played what, 80 up to 80 games max, maybe 82 anyway. Then you're going to add on your Olympic stuff. So that's another 12 to 15 games, including the tune-ups and all that. So in September, you're going to start training camps. This is the NBA. Like, I put it on the players union. I put it on the NBA because the players union could have honestly fought
a lot harder. Yes,
a lot harder, and it was more like.
I mean, I don't have conclusive reporting to that effect, but my best guess is that Adam Silver and the owners said is, here's how much money we get if we don't fulfill our television contracts, and here's how much money everyone's salary is going to go down as a result of.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there was elements of that, but it was just really weird that. In the, you know, basically once the champagne dried up, you know, from the bubble, from the Lakers championship, it was like, okay, all right, let's start a season. And the players union's like, no, we want to start, you know, after the new year. And the NBA, you know, owners are like, I think we can.
I still don't think, like, now. Look, if they started, like, whether they started on Christmas Day or they started, like, 2 weeks
they
later.
They started, like, 2 days before Christmas Day.
So let's say they,
like, they started on Christmas Day. Am I crazy?
They started on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
That was
for some reason, I thought they played, they played preseason games.
That might be, but I'm pretty sure the opener was Christmas Day.
I thought they started like maybe a week and a half before Christmas.
Well, either way.
Yeah.
Well, either way.
It didn't feel genuine.
There was no way to pull this off that would not have been – there were no way to fulfill two objectives at the same time, which is, one, give teams enough time to rest from the previous year, and two, fulfill the television contract. So there was no way to do that. Assuming the Olympics were happening.
This also goes back to why they probably just should have not done anything last year. Like, nothing probably should have.
Yeah,
I think that would have been the way around all this, is just to not do anything until this season. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been one way, but then they would have lost a great deal. Look.
Yeah. I don't mind them finishing the season. Like, that's fine. Because I think it could have been exponentially worse had they not. But yeah, I
don't think there's a perfect answer. I think LeBron filling his diaper about this on Twitter is a little, I feel like you're like, okay, yeah, you're not wrong, but you're also complicit.
Yeah, so like you want to.
Oh, yeah. The players union basically was like, you know, owners are like,
even
you guys are going to play this
day. Even if you want to say that owners threatened them with, you know, pulling out of the CBA and renegotiate and, you know, and then, you know, offering them far worse financial terms in the next collective bargaining agreement. Even if you want to say that the ownership had them over a barrel, you're still complicit. You did agree to this.
Right. No. That's what I'm saying. Like, the owners can sit there and go, oh, yeah, you're going to start this date. And then the players are like, you know what? Yeah, let's start that date. When I saw that they were going to basically just come to an agreement on this, and I'm like, wait a minute. You guys are really not fighting this. That's okay.
It's so difficult to say what. I mean, look, maybe LeBron was – God, is he the vice president of the Players Association?
I don't know if he is, but I know Chris Paul's the head of the Players Union. But I think LeBron, if anything, he's a part of the leadership, but more vocal than most players, which kind of goes without saying.
I'm Googling it, so that's how you know I'm responsible.
He's vice president. Yeah, he is the vice president of the NBA Players Association, yeah.
Is he?
Yes.
Chris Paul, no, it's Iggy. Andre Iguodala is the vice president.
I like how Bob right was good.
He was vice president. Did
he was. He no longer isn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he was, and then he got replaced. Okay.
Yeah, it's Andre Iguodala, who's cool and interesting. But look, clearly LeBron, like, title or not, to think that LeBron does not have an incredibly powerful voice in the union and the NBA as a whole, that's just a known.
Yeah.
Like, I think you can say that, take that as a given. But, and look, maybe LeBron James was the one saying, actually, no, we need to do something radically different.
I think I would be surprised because LeBron spends so much money on his own body. It's like a million. Yeah.
Look, that is the case. If the case is that he disagreed vehemently with the union's plan and with management's plan, then it was incumbent upon himself to make those feelings known
when they were happening.
Yeah.
Not way after the fact and after all this right. stuff to he the I told you stuff. Yeah. Like,
he should have said something 8 months ago. Then.
And I'm just playing devil's advocate here. But do you think it might have been a situation where there were guys that we like Braun and maybe some others, maybe not as prominent, but they're also voicing, why are we still playing? Because I remember throughout the season, there were guys who kind of hinted at, okay, you know, maybe we shouldn't have come back too soon. Like, there were inklings of that. So all I'm saying is, do you think that there are maybe some small fractures in the players union in terms of it's like we disagree, but we can't come out, you know, against this.
Yes. Yes. That is yes, for solidarity, we're not going to say anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Then guess what? Then you don't need to make us think about injuries.
Right. Well, no.
There is a fracture because LeBron and Chris Paul are anti the middle of the rotation guys. Like, they are adamantly opposed to the MLE and those kind of contracts. They want to get rid of those kind of contracts. They want to just, they're not happy about the max contract, right? Like, those kind of players, right. They believe that they're underpaid, and they're probably right. Like, LeBron they is an underpaid player. However, we know that the people who get screwed if you get rid of this model are the 9th and 10th guys on playoff teams. So
I'm not sure if I agree with your police work there, Lou.
I'm saying, we've seen players talk about it. Like, they are concerned about getting rid of the max contract and getting rid of MLEs and just these requirements for contracts.
Honestly, they need to get rid of the max contract because...
Honestly, they need to get rid of the salary cap because it's anti-capitalist, and I disagree with it as an American. I mean, seriously.
Well, I mean, that's never happening.
Like, if you really think that, look, let's say there is no salary cap in the NBA and some team was free to pay LeBron James $100 million a year, which they could do and would be closer to his net worth or his actual value provided on the court. And maybe not now at this point in LeBron's career when he's, lost a couple of miles per hour of his fastball and is not just capable of dragging a team to the finals almost guaranteed. But at his prime, a team was able to pay LeBron $100 million a year, which would have been a fair market price or closer to it. If everyone else, you really think that a team would say, well, then we need to pay every single other player on the roster a minimum wage in order to make up for that? I really don't think the 12th to 15th guys on the roster are going to get necessarily screwed without a salary cap. I do not believe that for a second. And I'm willing to be shown the macroeconomic articles that show that I'm a wrongy wrong wrong.
I mean, we see that in Major League Baseball right now. Like, they just go with the cheap route. They spend a lot of money on the big Garrett Cole types, and then they don't pay the middle-of-the-road veterans anymore. Those guys have been squeezed out where teams... I mean, the Braves do it all the time now. I see it all the time.
That is true. They the owners are colluding to artificially tamp down wages, but yes. That's... In a well-functioning laissez-faire capitalist market, there would be no need for the Garrett Temples of the world to get the shaft because LeBron got it.
But what I'm saying is that's what would happen, would be my guess. Because I think the owners would collude to do that. Yes. I think it would be LeBron making a bunch of money and then a bunch of G League salaries. That would be my guess.
You're right. That's a fair point. I agree with you, Chase, now. Okay.
There we go. First time. I did it. See, people can change minds.
I think the only option then is to abolish all ownership and let the players run that start their own league.
Well, we're starting that a little bit with players running their own teams, like picking their next coaches. Luka going to pick his next.
No. I mean, I want them sitting in the owner's box.
Oh, yeah.
This ownership thing is a crock. All NBA teams should be should be owned in public by the city they live in, and the players should retain all the entire actual decision making control and apparatus. Seek control of means of production, mother flubbers.
Speaking of. Some flubs and like players association drama. Cole
Did you
Beasley.
Say flubs?
Yeah, flubs.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not a word.
It is a word. Flubs?
No.
Yeah. You gotta get down south more, Bob. Plubs?
Yeah, it's true. I don't do that enough to know the term plubs, which is not real.
I said flubs. F.
Flubs. Flubs. Oh, okay. Go on.
Cole Beasley. Wrong on Twitter.com every day, but you know what that man does?
Shocker.
He wakes up every day, and he's like, let me try again. Did y'all see the clip of him and Dak where he was like, I'm like a dog, I don't need to stretch. And then Dak's like, dogs stretch all the time. What are you talking about? And he's like, well, no. He's like, yeah, there's downward dog in yoga because dogs stretch. And he's still arguing. Like, Cole Beasley is just always wrong online, and he wakes up every day, and he's like, you know what? What if I'm wrong a little bit louder today? It's pretty wild to see him, Joe Mixon, certain guys just respond this way. But like, what? This is easy. This is not a real problem. Just go do it. What are you talking about? This is ridiculous that this is still a thing. And that we should have seen this pushback coming. But Andrew, what do you make of Cole Beasley being very upset about the unvaccinated protocols for NFL players this fall?
It's pretty easy. Get the damn shot. Like, you know, and I'm not trying to be a smartass about it, but seriously, it's like, if you're going to sit there because there's three guys on the Vikings that are kind of sort of important to, you know, if this team is actually going to be somewhat decent this year, and three of them have basically said, yeah, that's, you know, that's kind of my medical business and my medical history, dog. You're gonna sit there and pull that card, really? Really? We're gonna do that today? No, I don't understand this whole. Like, I understand if you want to make it a private health matter and say, yeah, you know, I got vaccinated, I'll just leave it at that. But like, if you are so upset over not getting, you know, over the rules and over the guidelines, then just take the damn shot. Like, that, it's that simple. And it blows my mind how prominent pro athletes in college somewhat, but, you know, prominent pro athletes mostly are like, this is the hill that you are dying on? What? Really? This is what you're choosing? Oh, yeah, no. It's not that I'm an anti-vaxxer. I just believe that, you know, I want to get all the medical information versus dog.
They're literally sending them in. Like, we know that these teams are sending in guys. Like, what more information? Are you waiting for the right Facebook post to tell you that it's
They're sending in guys. They have to, they literally, like, some of these leagues literally have to have compliance, you know, specialists for, you know, to make sure that guys are taking the right types of supplements and vitamins and all this stuff, you know, for injuries and for, you know, other things. But it's just kind of like, really, like, you do understand that you were one of 32 NFL teams that have access to health information that the general public does not have. And you're skeptical on this. I'd rather somebody just say, you know, I don't want to get vaccinated because I think vaccination is bullshit. Like, say that. Like, I will still disagree with you, but at least you're out there saying that vaccines are bullshit. Not this, you know, I'm going to... I'm really not sure, you know, I want to trust, I want to make sure that I'm getting trusted information on this. You dumbass, you are. I'm tired of people, I'm tired of rich people playing stupid for the sake of playing stupid. Just have a shitty opinion and just go with it. Don't sit here and try and finagle your way out of some crap like that. It really pisses me off.
I just couldn't imagine. Like, the answer is right there. Like, this is not a real problem.
Right.
It's just, this is not a real problem. So I don't really have
any sympathy. And if you want to be in those meeting rooms, if you want to be in those practices and not have to be scaled back as much, then just get the damn shot. It literally takes less than 5 seconds for them to jab the freaking needle in your arm. And if you're feeling away after it, yeah, like, it is okay. Like, you won't turn into a zombie. Like, I swear to God, you guys run into each other like, you know, like freaking freight trains every Sunday or Monday or Thursday, depending on the day. And all of a sudden, oh, getting a needle in my arm for like 2 seconds is now is now a hill I don't want to climb.
Yeah.
Other than that, no. I think Cole Beasley is tied into his opinion.
Bob, do you think this is going to evolve in the coming months when players really get frustrated with the situation of being separated from the vaccinated folks?
I don't even want to consider like the NFL mindset vis-a-vis vaccines. It's just like there are so many potential pitfalls for like where people could get bad ideas on Facebook and friends and relatives and so on. It's just no, I don't think this is going to be to evolve, and I'm not going to pay. I refuse to. I'm not engaging. That's it. Mm. I refuse to engage on the NFL's.
I don't think your quarterback's vaccinated. And
no, he's not. I got off a tweet about this.
Yeah, I don't think
so. Because Sam Darnold said like that's a personal decision. So I used the Sam Darnold meme generator to point out that Zach Wilson also said it's a personal decision.
Yeah, that's also just what a weird thing. Guys, our picks of the week. Bob, what is your pick of the week to recommend to our listeners?
I'm recommending the delightful tale, which you probably all saw on Twitter.com right now last night and has been written up by the New York Times, of the guy who spent 15 hours in a Waffle House.
Oh, that's my pick of the week. I put it in there. You bastard. That was my pick of the week.
Let me tell you something. I personally believe that I could have been out of that Waffle House in 2 hours. Easy.
Oh, spoken like a true New Yorker who has never been a Waffle House person.
I've never been in a Waffle House.
Oh, my God.
I've been to many Perkins's.
Not the same.
I've been to all kinds of chain diners. I feel like, and I've seen the Bourdain episode of the Waffle House.
There are so many Southern listeners right now hanging up on this. Like, what are you doing, Bob? In and out.
So, Chase, question. Because Bob says he can be in and out of there in 2 hours.
Yeah, he's out of his mind.
It's not
that big a waffle.
Oh my god.
You know what? You know, I'm ignoring Bob, Chase. How long do you think you could be in there?
I think what did the dude do? Did he do 9 waffles for 15 hours?
Something like that.
Yeah. I could probably do.
He'd eaten 4 by like 5 in the afternoon. That's insane.
Dude, no. Do you know how many calories are just like the 4 by 5? Do you know how many calories he's gone through?
And 400 calories a waffle. It's not that big a deal.
No, you have not had a Waffle House waffle.
No.
I'm eating it on the internet. It says it's a 400 calorie waffle.
Oh my goodness.
So I will say because
I'll say 12 and 12 maybe.
Yeah, I you know what? I can because I've done. There was a night where I was, you know, a bit inebriated, and
it's the best time to go to Waffle House.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I smashed 3 waffles in 90 minutes.
Mm.
So,
and how were you feeling after those 3, Andrew?
Oh, dude, I was still drunk.
Yeah,
but no. Honestly, I think I could do 8 hours. I think I could do 8 to 10 hours. Pace myself because it's all about pace.
So in 8 to 10 hours, you would need to eat 14 waffles.
Yes.
14 to 16 to get out of there in time.
Yeah, that would be fine. That would be fine.
Look, I would just like you to point
out. Andrew, we got to bring Bob to a Waffle House in the South. Like when we all do the sports reporters in person, we're going to challenge him to do this.
We got to do a pod from a Waffle House.
Yes.
But it can't be a nice Waffle House. We got to do one from a dingy, filthy Waffle House.
I'm sorry. What Waffle House have you been to that's not dingy?
An International House of Pancakes. Did I mention that?
What?
I've been to many International House.
Oh my God! Not the same thing, Bob.
I remember my first beer.
Yeah. Unreal. Full New Yorker over here. Like Bob, this is not the same. Like,
how is it not the same? It's a chain diner.
It's not the same.
Waffle House is an entirely different experience. Like, you just We have to take you in there. Anthony Bourdain figured it out too. Like, you just have to go.
Right, and... but I'm looking. That's what I'm saying. I saw that episode in South Carolina. I looked at the size of the waffle he ate. It was not a ginormous waffle.
Your arteries immediately clog as you're in bite seven.
Yeah, Bob, no.
You just, you got to do it.
Did you guys follow along with the, he's a writer for Up Rocks, Robbie Calland?
Yes.
When he ate 81 wings.
No, it was chicken Kobe nuggets Bryant. From Chick-fil-A.
Nugs. It was nugs. You're right.
Yeah.
81 Chick-fil-A nugs to tie. And he did it.
Oh, my God.
81 nuggets. 81 chicken nuggets. That is more than 24 waffles. Not just numerically. That is more food.
It doesn't feel like it, I would say. 24 Waffle House waffles would feel very different than 81 chicken
nuggets. I'm not saying I could eat 24 Waffle House waffles in an hour. I'm saying, like, I could eat, I feel like I could eat 12 waffles.
Incredible. Incredible. Andrew, what is your pick of the week?
My pick of the week, and I can't believe I'm saying this. It is, well, one, it's a game seven for the Bucks and Nets. Tonight, perhaps the biggest game for the Atlanta Hawks in a generation. And if the Hawks win, we gotta start seriously looking at that Philadelphia franchise. If they don't, we go to a game seven. So we're guaranteed either Sixer slander or more Atlanta sports slander. Frankly, that's my paradise.
I can't wait for tonight. It's going to be a delight. Atlanta's going to be rocking. I wish I was there for this.
It's going to be nuts. And I am I am actually excited for Hawks fan. Like, I am very excited for you guys. I can't believe I'm saying this, but yeah.
Peace up. A-Town down. Burp, 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 burp. Burp, 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 burp. Burp, 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 burp. You know the jam. Burp, 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 burp. No?
No. You know, I know the jam, but I'm just going to let you, you know, go with that.
I'm a cool guy, Andrew.
Proud of you.
For that guy up there in the Northeast, Robert Silverman of the Daily Beast. For that guy in the Midwest, somehow in the East Coast time zone, of the Detroit Free Press, Andrew Hammond. That is all we've got, fellas. But we'll be back next Friday. Stay safe out there, fellas.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.